afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. This is The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? The name of the episode today is Conference Quality. Conference Quality. Hey, we say it about the show. This is Conference Quality information without the expense report. But those in-person conferences, I don't believe they're going anywhere. I think we're going to continue to see those occurring right through 2020 and beyond. But I do believe we're at a moment of generational inflection when we need to reimagine them. And our guest today, he's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about that and a lot of stuff. It is really, really good stuff. As we're talking about the conferences, we've all been there. We've all been there. We've been there in not my session, by the way, but there was a guy that or a lady that looked so good on paper, said to be dynamic and thought-provoking and funny, and you haven't thought once, you haven't laughed once, and they are on their 74th slide of their PowerPoint presentation, and you're on your 19th round of Candy Crush or Words with Friends. We've all been there. The gentleman on our show today, Bill McKenna, he's not one of those presenters. I remember I went up to meet him at a conference that I wasn't even speaking at. It was up in Dallas, Texas, and I went up there just to meet him because, again, that face-to-face interaction cannot be duplicated by a tweet or an Instagram post or a Snap Face or whatever, or even a LinkedIn profile. There's something special about that, and that's why I think those conferences will continue. But he agrees with me. Time to reimagine them, add some more entertainment. You can learn stuff while you're entertained if you find the right balance. Ooh, balance. There's a great musical term. That day, I don't remember when it was, but it was in 2007, maybe in the summertime. And then later that year, I was up to see him when he was with another company, and I was up there with my family. And we took a memorable trip with a bunch of his clients and employees from his company to New York City in December of 2007. And while I was getting on the bus, had sort of a chance meeting with his son, Scott, and in that split second, it would prove to be the most consequential brief meeting that I would ever have in my professional life. The only reason you're listening to this show is because of that chance meeting where I got on the bus and I could not figure out, how do you watch an NFL game on your computer on a tour bus? There's no satellite dish on top of this, on this coach. Anyway, history with Bill McKenna goes way, way back, and the interview is so good. What road are you on, right? I'm not talking about the Lord of the Rings. I'm talking about what road are you on, because there were three roads for banking brands out there. There is the road to greatness. Sounds pretty great. There is the road to mediocrity. That might keep you in business through 2030. And there is the road to extinction. What road was Blockbuster Video on in 1999? How would they have answered that question? How are you going to answer that question?
You're literally listening to The Power of Performance.
That effect on Carol King, who doesn't? His name is Bill McKenna, and he joins us now from somewhere beautiful, the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Hey, Bill, how in the world are you?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you doing?
Awesome. Finally. Yeah, you heard me talking about that chance meeting. That once-in-a-lifetime meeting back on the bus back in the day, but got a lot of changes going on in your life. Tell us about your career with credit unions and what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, it's been a long time. It's kind of scary to think about, but it's been 30 years since I've started working with credit unions. And I had a little design studio in Bethlehem, PA back in the day, and I was a graphic designer of the old school kind with paste-up and mechanicals and marker comps and all that stuff. And a guy walked in one day and said to me, hey, can you do a newsletter for a credit union? And I said, sure. And I said, like, what's a credit union? So I kind of learned from that time what a credit union was and had the great fortune since then of working with over 500 credit unions. And the firm that I'm with now, Membership Marketing Support Services, has worked with 3,000 credit unions in the last 30 years. So I had a great career and really enjoy it. And, hey, I want to say one more thing. Those conferences with those tables and those notepads, I have a drawer full of great pens, really great pens.
Yes, you do. You should never be without a pen. Believe it or not, I do an old school here with the number 2 graphite pencil because they're more reliable than the ink. But no, and like I said, I used to have like a running joke. Oh, by the way, something that I still say that I guess I either stole from you, borrowed from you in perpetuity, is when I'm talking to a group of people, no matter which show or the Christcast, I will say questions, comments, snide remark. I still ask that question.
Some things rub off on people. I still do the same thing. It gets a laugh. Usually it's pretty good.
Every single time. It's like 100 for 100. That's interesting. But you said, and I thought this was interesting, we were talking in the pre-show, now you're back working with a variety of credit unions, but you just had an experience working with a pretty big credit union, a big billion-dollar credit union brand. I think it's going to help you as you go out and talk to your clients. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity. Actually, I was the vice president of marketing for American Heritage Credit Union in Philadelphia. And, they're going to be about $2.1 billion here in the next probably week or two, 165,000 members and, really a lot of growth. Been very exciting. But, having worked with so many, I got inside this large one. I got this opportunity from Bruce Folk, their CEO, and I really enjoyed my time there. It was fabulous. And I think what I've learned there has been amazing. But even during that time, you talk about transition, my mind has transitioned so amazingly because being an old school marketer at heart, there's so much new stuff to learn. And I've always been really, really open to learning. So I've been able to apply some of that new things to this and seen some tremendous results. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity, but I really did miss working with multiple clients. And so that's why I've decided to jump back on this side of the desk.
Well, it was kind of funny. I was speaking about transition and learning and changing. I was making the alphabet out because I'm going to do a show celebrating our 10 years doing the event in Racine, Wisconsin with myself, Scott, and Knight. The first time we ever did that format at that event, it was an all-employee event. So I was thinking about all the things that Scott told me about, and I just used the alphabet, and it was just amazing. All the new stuff that I had never heard of when we got together 10 years ago. And, the old co-host of the show, Dr. Troy, used to say, you can either be a stone or a sponge. And I sometimes struggle with opening my mind up to new things. I like doing things a certain way, and it sounds like, that experience you had at a big – what I was the prototype for credit unions, by the way. I think the banking marketplace is going to be dissected into big mega banks. Poor Wells Fargo, they got to sit there at $1.9 trillion, and that's all they have. And, community banks and these size credit unions. I don't think we're going to have a marketplace in 2020, 2025 for the $7 billion IBEW electrician employee credit union in Waters, New York, or anything like that. So I think it's cool that you had that experience at a big credit.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that it's interesting. The industry continues to consolidate without a question. There's just so much compliance and so much technology and things that are just making it very difficult for the smaller ones to make that transition. There's just a lot of great people in this industry, and there still are in some of the smaller credit unions. But what I'm saying, matter of fact, the conference, one of the things I'll be talking about probably as part of my opening actually is I think right now credit unions really have one of three roads to look at. And road one I consider the road to greatness, and it's the credit unions that want to grow. It's the ones that realize what's happening and are willing to make that move to, risk versus reward. And then the second road that I think a lot of them are on is what I'll call the road to mediocrity. You know, they're great people, and they just – they're kind of in between. They're not quite sure what to do or how to get there. Maybe they haven't surrounded themselves with the right people. And then the road is the road to extinction. And again, it isn't that they're bad people. It's they're not bad people, but it's just such a changing time, and nothing lasts forever. So – you know, I am trying to find the clients, and what I'm really passionate about is finding the clients that want to get on the road to greatness. And I don't think it matters the size they are as much as their vision and their passion to grow, if that makes sense.
Oh, I totally agree. And one of the things I love doing with the show is after we record the show and broadcast the show, I like things that I can compile on Twitter very succinctly. And I absolutely love that. Three roads. Road to greatness. To make a road to extinction. And to be fair, two or three might survive. I mean, by design, Wells Fargo is going to be mediocre. They're going to be in the midline. They don't get to grow, and they probably won't lose any money either. I wonder what happens when they keep making money. I would love some of that. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That is great. Now, let me ask you about the event itself. Where is it going to be, and when is it going to be?
Well, it's going to be in Las Vegas. The conference is put on by CU Conferences, who's been doing conferences in this industry for about 30 years, actually, as well. It's going to be at Caesars. And the one conference is the Marketing and Business Development Conference, which is taking place the 19th through the 21st. And then the next one is the Earnings Conference, which takes place, you know, basically starts the day after that and goes for about 3 days. Through the 24th, I believe it is, or 23rd, I guess. So it's two conferences in a row, and people don't have to attend both of them. But, you know, we're talking about a lot of things. One, obviously, marketing and business development, continuing to figure out how to grow and attract new members and grow the relationships you have. And the second one is more about some of the issues to do with earning and making money. And, of course, marketing affects that as well. So I think there's going to be a great event, and looking forward to being there.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't do a lot of spoken sessions like I used to. I only did one last year. I do not enjoy traveling. I like being home. I like my quiet little life right here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. But I noticed when I went to Vegas last year for the financial brand event and spoke at that event, you really can't replicate the person-to-person contact, the interpersonal interactions with a podcast or a radio show or a LinkedIn post. I don't think those events are going to go away. I just think they're going to get shorter and maybe more activity-based. I went to one years ago. I remember famously because I first heard about LinkedIn at this event in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And it was basically you skied all you wanted, and then met for a 20-minute. It was Q's. Q's did that event. I thought, you know, this is actually kind of cool. I never skied, but it was a beautiful setting, and it was obvious. It was more about just networking and being together than sitting around looking at, like I put in the episode description. We've all been there, where the guy, you know, you can see he's got 50 slides in his presentation, and you're thinking, okay, what time is lunch? How do we get out of here? And it sounds like what you're going to be doing is this is what I like about this. You're telling people there's three options, and you know there are going to be some people that are there that are on the road of extinction, unless they switch lanes very quickly. Correct?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think there'll be a mix of people there. It tends to be ones who are probably more in the road to mediocrity and greatness, but there will certainly be some of the smaller ones there as well.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, but you know, something I'd like to add to that, I think that's really important, is that, you know, what credit unions are about, and you know this, Jason, it's about what they're doing for their members and their communities. And credit unions have, you know, if you start looking at credit unions, what they do is amazing. And really, that's what I keep pushing. Even at American Heritage, as big as they were, they do some tremendous things in their communities. And what I'm getting at is, the foundation upon what they were built is really the member. It's giving back. It's the better, you know, the higher rates on savings and the lower rates on loans and less fees and giving to their community. And I think that's the thing they really need to focus on, not the rates and fees as they move forward. So leading on to my next thought, even the smaller ones that might wind up being at some point merging with a larger credit union, that's not a terrible thing for them. If they really care about their members and what it's about the future, they have to do what's best. And if it's really about helping each person in their community, they may have more opportunity to do that as part of a large organization than a small one. So I don't think it's a terrible thing. They just have to understand it's a changing time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I think it's interesting. I did want to ask you a final question. Like I said, I believe we're in a moment of tremendous inflection. I think that we're going to have to reimagine how we do these events. And I used to have kind of a standing joke when I would call back from the road and, oh, hey, how are things going? I'd say, well, I'm telling people things that they could have looked up on Google. And I would kind of joke about it. But I know what you mean. There is the way you present things, the humor that you put in your talks and in your keynotes, and, of course, the information itself. But I wanted to ask you, looking down the road, when your grandkids are going to credit, you know, taking the Uber from the airport to the credit union conference, what do we need to do to keep those relevant and valuable? Because it's not cheap to send three or four people from even a big credit union out to one of these events.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's an interesting conversation because I think that it is changing. Ultimately, it's all about, in my opinion, making sure your audience is entertained. And one thing that I know I've seen some of your sessions that you've done in the past, and obviously Scott being around for a long time, I know a lot about you guys and your history and what you've done, but there's nothing better than the art of storytelling. And the art of storytelling takes place with an audience, and live it's better. I mean, you could watch a concert on TV, but a live concert's way better. So I think the secret is, and the change is, that the sessions have to be more entertaining. They have to use more video. They have to use more things to, make sure, as you said, that the brand is enlightening. So I think the conferences will change, but I think meeting people face to face, there's still nothing stronger than that.
I believe that
they won't go away. They'll just change.
I totally agree.
And I think that the people that change with it will do really well.
And I totally agree with you. Yeah, you know, that's the mantra we had when we were doing the event. History is change with it or get changed by it. And we literally we entertained people. I'll never forget. We were in Galveston and somebody came up and basically wanted to switch positions with us. They did not want to go after us, and we didn't want to do the last session because usually people leave early to go to the airport. But it was so obvious that we had done something that was so uniquely different that, you know, one of the reasons I stopped speaking at those events was that I didn't want to be looped in with the keynote guy with the tape series and the video series and all that stuff. And it was when I was thinking about stopping and getting out of professional speaking when I met Scott and then Nick, and we started doing those events, and it changed the next, you know, 6 or 7 years. And how, well, it's, even now I wouldn't be doing the show. I didn't hear about your son told me about Blog Talk Radio. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah, it's great. It's great stuff. Yeah. And Scott is, you know, Scott and I constantly, as you can imagine, we live about 4 blocks from each other. So, we always kid it's a long ride. It's 52 seconds to his house, but we have a lot of exchanges about discussions about the old, the new, the technology, you know, and we have some great conversations about that. It's just really awesome how well that is.
I get super animated about this stuff, and I think I've been talking with my hands today. I keep trying to figure out a way to do the show standing up. And I think I've figured out how to do that now, but I really do get excited about it. I want to talk to you about that because that's one of the most unique things in our content. I always tell people there's two things that I've seen change the most, you know, in my time as an American. That is how we treat our pets. You know, people treat their pets now like they are literally members of the family. And I'm not judging it. I'm just saying people treat their pets like children. That was not the way it was back when I was growing up, when the dog was just there to kind of ward off the burglars and stuff like that. And the other thing is that today, a lot of times, the technical proficiency in the family is found in the younger generation. That was never the case for baby boomers and Gen Xers. It was never, ever the case. And so I think that's interesting. Hey, can you stick around for just a second?
Sure. Sure thing.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
Yeah, I'm up at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro, but I'll be hood forever, I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere, and I'm most definitely full.
I'm in a New York state of mind.
That is right. One of my favorite pictures is my son and my mom standing in downtown New York around Christmas time, that fateful bus trip from Allentown down to New York City. And you know what, Bill? We even went to that German Christmas market when we got back. We were up very, very late that night.
Yeah, that was a great trip. I remember it. It was like it was questionable whether we should even drive into the city on that day. It was so nasty. But it was a lot
nasty.
Of fun. I remember sloshing around the city.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was a good time. Like I said, generationally speaking, one of the big changes right now is I think that sort of the technology innovation is going from the younger generation up, and the baby boomers and Gen Xers are learning to adapt to the way young people use technology. What are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, you have younger kids and grandkids now. What do you see when you think about what you would tell the credit union and the banking marketplace about that going forward?
Well, I'd really say three simple words: content is king. You know, what we've learned is that obviously we don't want to disrupt people in their lives. We want to provide value to them. And, you know, consumers are making decisions about your brand and who you are and choosing your product and service before they even contact you. They're looking to see what kind of information you can provide, how you can help their lives. We've got to take the focus off of rates and fees, what we offer, who we are, and put it on what they need. And when we do that, with engaging content, we can build powerful marketing pads. We can build relationships with people rather than trying to sell them. And really, credit unions that can understand how to do that and use marketing automation, use the data they have, are going to be successful. I'm not saying the other stuff's all dead by any means. I still think there's a valuable marketing mix in what happens. But the honest truth is that it has changed. And so we've got to change. We've got to make sure we're giving good content to people.
I was noticing on the Super Bowl, I paused it for 30 minutes so I could just kind of fast forward through the commercials and stop at the ones I wanted to see. But even doing that, it was so obvious that, you know, one of the next big marketing competitions is going to be around these voice-directed Alexa-style HomePod, Google, whatever they are now. I've had an Alexa for 2 years. I've had one of those for 2 years, and I love it. And it's obviously that's one of the things. And who would have ever thought that? Did you ever think? You know, I've been thinking about that famous Super Bowl when I was in the war back in 1991, where I think the Giants beat the Bills. The field goal was wide, and I was like, I guarantee you, when we watch the Super Bowl that Sunday, over in the theater of operations, there were no ads for, you know, say, ask this thing something and it'll give you an answer right away.
Yeah, without a question. And it's going there. I mean, there's absolutely no question. It's not going there.
It's
already
impact
there.
Banking. Yeah, and it's going to impact. I haven't seen it obvious in banking yet, but I really do believe there's going to be a moment where I say, and it's funny, Scott's been to my house. You haven't, but I heard Alexa come on because I said her name. I just did it again. She's not that far from me. But I mean, it's just crazy because you never would have thought that was sort of the science fiction stuff. And if this is the starting point, I really do believe there's going to be a moment where I say, I'll use the one downstairs, Echo, transfer $500 to my son's account, you know, and it's just going to happen. And it's going to be, oh, that's his voice. That's the voice recognition we needed. Interesting. Well, listen, it is, like I said, I told you there was no way to do this show in 15 minutes. Like I said, the most consequential meeting I've ever had in my professional life was against all odds on a bus from Allentown to New York City. I was with my mom and my family. It was just such an awesome day. And I really appreciate you taking some time to join us.
Hey, it was great, and I've enjoyed knowing you over the years and working with you. And you know, the one thing we all have to think about is when we get on a bus with Scott for an hour and a half, we're going to learn a lot of new stuff.
Yeah.
So he's a great guy because he's an innovator, and he's been something
the whole
else.
The whole time he was watching a football game, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's no way you can't run a cord from that building that we just left to the bus. That's crazy. How's the door going to close if there's a cord sticking out? That cord's going to have to be about 150 miles long if we're going to watch that stupid football game all the way to New York City. What's going on here? How long have you been sitting here waiting on this guy?
Fascinating.
Hey, real quick, before we get out of here, if people want to contact you before the event, how do they do that?
Yeah, they could reach out to me. My email is bmckenna MCKENNA at MMSS.com. So it's Membership Marketing Support Services. So yeah, they can get in touch with the email. I'm on LinkedIn. Bill McKenna on LinkedIn. I think you'll find me pretty easily there. And would love to connect. If there's any ideas I can share with anyone, I'm certainly always open to doing that.
Awesome. Hey, listen, man, thank you so very, very kindly, and I hope I see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Bill McKenna, everybody. Boy, that's good stuff. I think it's getting back to the old time format. I've been so animated. I've been talking with my hands like crazy, and I usually sit on my hands when I do the show, and I hope I wasn't bumping the thing here. What's it called? Yes, not the microphone, the pop filter. Anyway, road to greatness, road to mediocrity, road to extinction, okay? Yeah, there's two options there that are pretty decent, but that third one is going to happen next week to someone. There's going to be another merger, or another purchase, or something like that. And I do believe part of this generational moment of inflection is a competitive nature where certain brands just go away because the free market decided it was time for them to do so. And hey, that is the destination on the road to extinction. Which road are you on? We'll keep talking about it. My name is Jason Dias. You've been listening to The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Conference quality information without the expense report and the TSA shakedown. My name is Jason Dias, and until next we speak, I'll talk to you all next week. Take care.
That's all, folks.